You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Matters of the Heart.
Watch this. We got to be right in order to act right. And for years, what the Christian did in Christian churches, and what we did especially in very conservative, fundamental, holiness-oriented kind of churches, we tried to make people act holy. Thou shalt not. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't party. Okay? You know, I remember we, you know, sometimes you see, you know the music we get going in church, and some people, they ain't been partying a long time, you know. The music gets going in church, and then you put, do, and you see somebody. We say, hey! Now, they ain't going to the party no more, but partying in their heart, damn it. I don't care what the music does, they, hey. Why? Because that's what's in them. You told me I can't go. I ain't went, but it's still in me. You follow? And so, we thought we had good Christians because we got folks acting like, again, I'm using all these old references, Stanford wives, who are programmed. We are Stanford Christians. I love Jesus. I am blessed and highly favored. Do you want to smoke? My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay? I do not have sex before I get married because marriage is honorable. Whoremongers and adulterers will God judge. And on the inside, we messed up. And we mad at preachers, mad at the church, because you got everybody putting this pressure on us. Pressure on what the guy McDonald, pressure. That's a new song. Pressure. That's what we got. We got pressure. Cause y'all make me act like and be something that I'm not. I got pressure. Why? Cause your heart ain't changed. My mother died at the age of 45. 44, 45. I was 20 years old. I was a junior in college. Called me out of biology class. Tell me, and one of the administrators from the school came. She couldn't even talk. She just broke. What's wrong? Okay. Go home. Mother passed away. My mother died of cancer that I don't believe the type of cancer she had was, as far as they know, I don't think that's directly related to smoking. But as a child, I went every day. We were just back in my hometown, and I know my kids and my family get tired. You know, every time I ride the whole town, I said, you know, right there used to be such and such. And that used to be, and I know they get tired of hearing my story. That wasn't there before. I grew up in that corner. That used to be an apartment building right there. Mr. Mickey's store used to be right there. And they don't even say anything anymore. They're like, yeah, whatever. Okay. But I was... telling the story, I said, every day, there used to be a store here, his apartment's there now. I said, so go down there. I hope I ain't going to get arrested now. But I said, go down there and run the numbers for everybody in the building. Now, I didn't know what I was doing. My mother used to just give me this piece of paper and this money and go down there to the store and stop down in Miss Jackson's house on the second floor and go. And everybody gave me money and some numbers on a piece of paper. I was a number runner. I was about 6 or 7. Didn't know what I was doing. But I also had to get my mother 2 packs of Salems every day. I had my mother 2 packs of Salem every day. As long as I remember, my mother smoked 2 packs of Salems every day. October 1981. Mother finds out she has cancer. Has to have emergency surgery. Smoking ceased immediately. She didn't go from 2 packs to 1.5 packs. She didn't go from 2 packs to 1 pack. She didn't go from 2 packs to 0.5 pack. She went from two packs to no cigarettes immediately. And I don't know how old she was, perhaps when she was a teenager, started smoking. So 20, 30 years perhaps she had been smoking, but immediately she stopped smoking without AA, without anybody laying hands on her, without a patch, without hypnosis. Why did she stop smoking? Because her mind changed about smoking. Let me go deeper. Her heart changed about smoking. Oh, my God. When your heart changes, behavior changes. She was convinced now that smoking will kill you. And if it did, in her case, it was too late. She had emergency surgery in October of 1981. She died February 8th, 1982. 4 or 5 months. But immediately, it's something that happens when the heart changes. We're trying to make people act right and act like Christians and act holy and all this kind of thing. But your heart's not changed. It's a heart matter. Okay, I ain't going to go that deep. Why are you late all the time? It ain't a clock problem. It ain't a watch problem. It ain't a traffic problem. It's not a train problem. It's not I-20. It is not I-26. It's not that your car goes slow. In your heart, being on time is not important to you. Has nothing to do with your schedule. And proof of it, every year in, what is it? Is October? Okay? Where we fall backwards and you get another hour. Y'all still late for the second service. But some of y'all, this is not a church issue. It's a job issue. I mean, what I mean, it don't show up just in church. It shows up on your job, okay? It will show up in everything. Why? Because in your heart, that's not important. Why some of you never come to church on a midweek service? In your heart, you don't think that's necessary. It's important. You're all quiet on me now. See, we deal with symptoms. You need to love the Lord. You need to love the Lord word, okay? I told you I have an uncle here in town. He's the most honest person. He doesn't profess to be a Christian, but he's the most honest person I know on earth. Because he's going to tell you exactly what it is. He's not trying to be mean. He's not trying to be nasty. He's not going to tell you he's going to be someplace he's not. He would just tell you, no, I ain't going to be there. I'll call him up a couple of days. Listen, uncle, you know, the family getting together on Memorial Day, and I just want to let you know you invited. Well, I always appreciate you inviting me, but I probably ain't coming. Now, there's some of you who would say, well, now I'll see what I got going. Let me see what's on the schedule. And let me see if I can make it. He will tell you from the beginning, not coming. No ill intent. Out of his heart, he already know. I ain't coming. Don't want to be there. Got something else planned. Okay, he's 80 years old. You ask him what you're doing. Nothing. You ever get bored? No. I do what I want to do. If I want to do something, he said, I worked many years. I don't have to do anything. If I want to do anything, I won't do anything. He's just the most honest person I know. And so Bishop Jakes was going to be here. Gave us the most honest. Bishop Jakes was coming. And so his wife, my aunt, was coming. And she tried to convince him to come. And we all come. Listen, we're going to reserve a seat for your uncle. Come on, come on, come on. Bishop Jakes is going to be. He said, and so his wife said, come on, I want you to go. And he said, no, I'm not coming. He said, why don't you know, best-selling author, movies, you know, I mean, you know, the Protestant Pope. Bishop T.D. Jakes is going to be here. Why don't you come? He said, I don't really want to come. I said, we're going to reserve a seat. You want to wait online? No. I said, why don't you want to come? He gave the most honest response. You know what he said? I'm not coming because I'm not interested in anything he got to say. No, I'm not saying that to judge him. I'm talking about he's honest. I'm talking about the honesty, the integrity. There's nothing that he talks about I'm interested in. If y'all will be honest, why don't you come to church on Wednesday night? You're not interested in anything I got to say. It's just not that important. We're dealing with behavior. You got to deal with the heart. Let's go back. I'm using this as an example. Celebrate 31 years of marriage this week, but 31 years of marriage. In 31 years, I have never been with another woman. Now, y'all know I don't have to say that. If I had, I wouldn't open up this can of worms. You understand? Certain things, just you don't have to say nothing. Nobody know nothing. Okay? So there's a point. In 31 years, I've been married with my wife, never been with another woman. Now I ain't talking about what I did before I got my wife, because that ain't none of your business. That's what the blood is for. Okay? But as long as I've been 31 years, but throughout marriage, and I say that right now, and there's some of you in here who say, I don't believe that. You know why? Because in your heart, you don't believe that a man can be faithful to one woman. In your heart, you don't believe that. Know why so many people always cheating? Having adulterous affairs? In their heart, they're not faithful. It don't have nothing to do with, man, I just saw her, man. I'm telling you, I never thought of meeting nobody like her. Stop lying. Because if faithfulness is in your heart, you're going to be faithful. The last week of May, 1985, within 5 to 7 days of June 1st, 1985, when I'm getting ready to marry my wife, I got the jitters. I got cold feet. I got scared. I got to thinking about my former friends. So long, farewell, and goodbye. I said, this is it. No more girlfriends, no more friends, no more whatever. One woman. I got a little jittery. So I went by to see Marcia. I said, I'm feeling a little, this is it. You know what I mean? I don't know if I can do this. She didn't try to convince me. She took the ring off, said, if you ain't ready, then let's not do this. Watch this. Invitations out, money spent. She was 20 years old, but always been a very wise woman. She'd never been thirsty or desperate. Even for me. Can you imagine not being hungry and thirsty and desperate even for me? What type of woman is this? She took off her ring and said, if you ain't ready, that's not it. I said, and so it made me get myself together real quick. I said, hold on. Don't be so hasty. I'm just trying to express myself to you, you know. I'm just talking about my feelings. Said, well, you got to get your feelings together. If you ain't ready to do this, we ain't ready to do this. She let me know right there, this is on you. It's your decision. I'm not convincing you to marry me, because if I got to convince you to marry me, I got to convince you to stay with me. If I got to convince you to marry me, I got to convince you to be faithful to me. So I made up my mind. I have decided to follow Marcia. I have decided to follow Marcia. Yeah, I made up my mind. So because I made up my mind in 31 years, never been with another woman. Because I fixed my heart 31 years ago. Now, don't mean you ain't cute. Okay? Don't mean you ain't fine. But God is divine. Okay? Doesn't mean that I don't ever see another attractive woman. It means I fixed it in my heart. Once you fix your heart, it determines your behavior. You hear what I said? Once you fix your heart, it determines your behavior. So whenever you hear, okay, this is so good. Whenever you hear somebody say something like, you know, I ain't planning on doing nothing, but you know, I don't know what I would do if I was in a situation, you know what I'm saying? You know, man's a man, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna start nobody, you know what I'm saying? You don't start no mess, won't be none, you know what I'm saying? You don't start no mess, won't be none. No, if your heart's fixed, you say, you know what? I'm not putting myself in a situation. You get like Joseph, you come in, I got to go out. No, I can't. That's why I made a decision very early not to counsel women. By myself. Not because I'm Iron Man. No, I'm not going to put myself in a situation. Because I found out how sin comes about. It's right in the Bible. It's in James, the first chapter. Every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust plus enticement equals sin. L plus I equals S. That's the algebraic formula for sin. Lust plus enticement equals sin. If you don't want to sin, don't put those variables together in the same room. Lust plus enticement. Another word for enticement can be L-O. Lust plus opportunity. So the Bible says give no place to the devil. Don't give the devil the opportunity. Make no provision for your flesh. So for all the folks who live together, talking about, we Christian, and we live together, but we ain't doing nothing. Another pastor friend of mine said this young man came up to him with this beautiful, fine young lady. He said, "Pastor, now, we live together, but we ain't doing nothing." He said, he looked at him. He said, "You're lying and you're stupid." I mean, what's the purpose? Heart determines behavior. We keep dealing with behavior. Behavior's not getting corrected because the heart's not right. When the heart gets right, behavior gets right. Out of the heart comes the issues of life. Let me go on. I'm just about done here because I'm just introducing this. So Jesus was explaining that a man will never be right, do right, act right, think right, speak right, or behave right until his heart is right. Our whole life is ultimately governed by what goes into and comes out of our hearts. Whole lives ultimately governed by what goes into and comes out of our hearts. Proverbs 4th chapter, verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. And we'll end here. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life," matters of the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. The New Living Translation says it this way: guard your heart above all else, for it, what? Your heart determines the course of your life. I'm going to come back to that because I really love that. And Message Translation says this: keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. Keep vigilant watch over your heart, for that's where life starts. Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. Guard it. Protect it. It determines the decisions for your whole life. It determines where you end up in life. It determines the future for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard it. Protect it. Because it determines the issues of your life. Protect your heart. Now, I mentioned this also in first service. You know, the reason why some of us, it's so easy, it's not everybody, but divorce and the whole issue of divorce and separation and stuff is so easy because you already practiced it before you got married. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, this is what I really believe. I believe you ever really love somebody, you love somebody. Okay? And so, it's the same emotions. If you love somebody, it's the same emotions whether you're married or not married. Okay? And then, so God never intended, this is going to help some of you single people, why you got to be diligent and sober regarding relationships and not just going in and out of relationships and all this, is because those emotions, there's certain emotions God only intended for you to release with your lifelong partner, with your spouse. Okay. All this stuff about you got to kiss a lot of frogs to get to your prince, you're going to end up having a whole bunch of warts on your lips. And that may be the least of your problems. Okay. So it's the same emotions. So, which is why I haven't seen it. I think I saw one episode one time because somebody was over my house. I said, "What is this you watch?" "It's the craziest. This loving hip hop stuff." Atlanta, New York, whatever. I'm telling you why I hate that stuff so much. Because particularly, and most of the time, it's African-American and Puerto Ricans and whatever. It tends to be sometimes minority. But now we got... Okay. We got famous ratchet people. Famous millionaire ratchet people. There was a time, okay, older people, y'all know what ratchet mean? Some of them look at me saying no. Okay. Ghetto. Ghetto, unsophisticated, low class, no class people who are now famous driving Mercedes and living in big houses, who yell and scream and cuss and fight in public and pull each other's weeds out. And our young people see this because there was a time when our young people, you know, for example, some people in my generation, they can remember, you know, I'm sure they had to work with them. Diana Ross, Supreme, they was at the projects in Detroit. But when they were on stage, they didn't look like they was from the projects. They didn't act like they was from the projects. They didn't sing like they taught them poise, and they taught them how to speak, and they taught them how to do interviews. And now, you just be who you is. No sophistication, nothing polished. And so now we have a whole generation of young people growing up seeing these people on television, and that become their role models. And now you can become famous, y'all, by putting a tattoo on your left bun and shaking it on Instagram. And you can get 1 million followers. Why don't y'all look at me like I'm crazy? These young people know what I'm talking about. And their whole goal now is to become Instagram famous. And some of y'all don't know this, but those people make money because they know people are following them. So it is very possible that Pepsi will advertise with them because they got to, y'all see how sick our society is getting. And so we got people who in their heart, they're just ratchet people. Who nobody's ever taught them, this is not how relationships work. You're not supposed to have to be fighting. Okay? And, you know, the sheriff coming over once a week and told me, it's all right now. He hit me, but I hit him back. But that's what we're seeing now. That's what we're seeing. And so now, let me back to this thing about practicing divorce and separation. So you fall in love, you fall out, I'm through with you. I ain't in love with you anymore. So you have those same emotions that now you basically, you're not married, but you're not doing with this person. Now you got to deal with all these emotions. You get yourself together. You go into another relationship. Go through the same thing. And you fall out and you cry and you get to therapy and whatever. And you get yourself together. And then you go on to another one. And now you get married. And soon as something comes up with your spouse, you're used to this. You're used to this. It ain't the first time I've been hurt. I got over it before. I'll get over it again. You're not the first person I love, and you're probably not going to be the last person I love. I got over it before. I got healed up before. I found somebody else before. I'll find somebody else. And that is never what God intended your life to be. That's never what God intended your life to be. And the problem is, we don't have faithfulness in our hearts. I made a decision to love my wife. When I'm mad at her, I made a decision I'm going to love her. On my worst day, I made a decision I'm going to love her. And I'm not going to be with anybody else. This is not a message about adultery. Please don't get that. I'm using this as a real life example. I'm dealing with the heart. Until you get to the root of heart issues, until the heart gets healed, the behavior is not going to change. Watch this. The players may change. The people may change. The places may change. And how much money you spend may change. But the issues keep reoccurring until you get that issue settled in your heart. Let me be transparent with one more thing. For years, some of you heard me share this. I've shared it primarily with men when I'm doing my teaching just to men. For years, again, you know, throughout my teenage years, I was not sexually active and all that, and came up in church. They said, they told me, they said, you don't do that, you go to hell. And there was, there was something to that, though. Now, something to that now. Because I believe I would go to hell. We don't believe in hell today. I just whatever that. And the way I heard all those songs about how good it was, I said, no, Lord. And even back then, I used to have these heart pains. And even as a teenager, you almost had heart surgery about 10 years ago. And I said, Lord, if I ever do that, what they said they're supposed to do. Right now, I'm talking about fornication. I haven't said before you get married. That's what I'm talking about, in case y'all lost me. I said, Lord, if I do that, I'm probably going to have a heart attack. I'm going to go straight to hell. And it scared me enough to stay straight.
What you believe or feel in your heart guides your actions and reactions. It's time for us to have a heart checkup. What are you allowing to penetrate your heart? Dr. Herbert Bailey examines matters of the heart in this powerful series. Order today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Matters of the Heart.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.